We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The president generated a little bit of a controversy, I guess, the night after his interview, as I understand it, with his summit with Vladimir Putin before he left Helsinki. He sat down with Tucker Carlson from Fox, and he made reference to, in response to a question, why should we jump to Montenegro's response, a member of NATO? He says because they're very aggressive people, and it could start World War III. And I'm paraphrasing all of that. Peter Brooks joins us right now, Senior Fellow of National Security Affairs at the Heritage Foundation. Good morning. How you doing?
Good morning.
John McCain tweeted, I think, that it's Putin's dream or something along those lines to have NATO split up, and that's the only thing that's kept Russia from advancing. Give us a little bit about NATO for people that know of it, but they don't know about it. Peter, please.
Yeah, I mean, it's the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. It was set up after World War II in light of the Soviet threat to Western Europe. It includes 29 countries, I'd say it's 26, 27 countries in Europe, and then the United States and Canada. Canada is also part of that, even though we're not in Europe. I've been a very successful organization over the years. Many people feel that the strength of NATO was one of the reasons for the end of the Cold War. The Soviets couldn't keep up with our defense capabilities, and things took a change in the early 1990s. Unfortunately, we're back to a place where Russia is again a threat, has been harassing U.S. and NATO military forces, has been violating some arms control treaties, is involved in a military buildup. And there's been an expansion of NATO. Many of the countries that were part of the Warsaw Pact, which was the Soviet Union's Eastern European military alliance, the Warsaw Pact, are part of NATO now. Some of the former Soviet republics, such as the Baltic states, Lithuania, Latvia, Estonia, Poland from the former Warsaw Pact, the Czech Republic, which was Czechoslovakia then. And so a lot of these countries are now part of NATO. One of the things, the important things to point out is that Ukraine is not part of NATO, is not part of NATO. Some people, for some reason, conflate that, but it is not. So it's been a very important alliance, and I think it's been a very successful alliance, and it's America's largest military alliance. We have other military alliances with Japan, singular with South Korea. We have one with Australia, the Philippines, and Thailand. So that's about it in terms of our military alliances, but this is certainly the biggest. And like I said, it's 29 countries, and Montenegro is the newest member of NATO, a small, very small country, by the way, a very small population. I heard somebody say, I haven't had a chance to check it. I've been doing a lot of stuff on Russia, but I hadn't had a chance to look at this set of comments. But I think it's about has the population of the city of Baltimore or something along that line. So it's a small place, but this was the one that was brought up in that conversation interview with Tucker Carlson.
You know, it's interesting, and it has nothing to do with anything, but at the last NATO meeting, it was the president of Montenegro, I think, that the president kind of put his hands on and moved out of the way, and he was talking about Montenegro being an aggressive people. A tweet from the president says, I had a great meeting with NATO. They paid $33 billion more and will pay hundreds of billions of dollars more in the future only because of me. NATO was weak, but now it is strong again. Bad for Russia. The media only says I was rude to leaders, never mentions the money. To be clear, there is no big pot of money from which NATO arms itself or uniforms itself or anything else, right?
Well, NATO, each country has its military, okay? It's not like we have one large NATO military force. There is a general fund that the countries pay into. The United States is the biggest donor to that. But in most cases, the country is providing for its own defense. And the thing that the president is talking about and his concerns, and I share those concerns, is burden sharing. The president feels that the United States is shouldering too much of the burden of defense against Russia and Europe. And I think he's saying, hey, you're more threatened by Russia than we are. I mean, you're right there. You need to pay more. And NATO, going back to 2006 and then reiterated in 2014 and then reiterated this year, said that each country within NATO would spend 2% of its gross domestic product on defense. And right now, of the 29 countries, there's only five in Europe that are doing so. And, of course, the United States is. We're spending over 3% of our GDP. And, of course, we have a huge GDP, right? So, and then there's three more countries that will join that 2% club this year. So we'll be at 8 or 9. But, yeah, that's 8 or 9 out of, 29. That's 20 that aren't, including countries like wealthy countries like Germany.
It's amazing how everything is viewed through a political prism today. We're talking to Peter Brooks, Senior Fellow of National Affairs at the Heritage Foundation, and the text says even your liberal friend agrees with Trump on NATO's problems. The Heritage Foundation is a conservative think tank, so believe what you want, but you can Google it if you don't believe me. So let me get back to what I asked you before, Peter. When it comes to the 2%, I'm not saying they shouldn't contribute, but 2% or not, when it comes to it, Croatia, Denmark, Estonia, pick a country, even France or Germany, they're looking to us to save their bacon, are they not?
Well, of course, we're the big boy in the room. There's no question about that. But the fact is that they need to contribute. And it's only fair that they make a contribution.
But
and it's not our responsibility to defend them.
I guess what I'm asking, would it be better for them to contribute to that general fund than their own defense? Because would it really matter when it comes to Croatia?
Yeah, you bring up an important point. The fact is that there's a general fund and they do make a contribution there, and then there's also their own defense. But getting them to 2% is very reasonable. But of course, the question is, what do they spend it on? Some of the countries actually that are spending 2% are spending it on personnel and pensions. So one of the other requirements has been that they spend 20% on major equipment purchases.
Furthering my point.
Of their defense budget.
Because it seems like when it comes to Bulgaria, and I'm not picking on Bulgaria, 2% is not going to make a damn bit of difference. They still need us. So it would seem like that money would be better spent contributing to a NATO fund that we could draw from when it comes time to save their rear ends.
They've looked at this and they've decided this is the path going.
Well, they didn't talk to me,
forward.
Peter.
Yeah, they should have.
Yeah,
really.
They really should have.
Tell
me about.
I think.
Go ahead. No, you go.
No, I was going to say it's your show.
Go ahead. Well, for the time being, look. Tell me about Putin's motivation in all of this and who's playing who.
He wants to weaken NATO. Unfortunately, Russia sees. In 2005, Putin said. Infamously, in my mind, that the greatest geopolitical tragedy of the 20th century was the fall of the Soviet Union. He recently reiterated that in another place, another time. So this is how he thinks. He sees NATO as a threat. NATO has always been a defensive organization. It's to defend Europe from aggression, not to initiate aggression.
I'm glad you said that. Because it reminds me of a question I had for you about Article 5 as it relates to NATO. And if, for example, Montenegro were to invade somebody, at that point they're on their own. We don't come to their defense, correct?
Well, Article 5 says it calls for common defense. But as in every treaty we have, defense treaty, each country has to go through their constitutional processes. In other words, people have to sign up for it.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, if Montenegro picks a fight with another country or country X picks a fight with another country, this is the diplomatic wiggle room that's written in the treaty, so we don't get dragged into something we don't support. You see what I'm saying?
Well, actually, Peter, Estonia could declare war on Croatia. I'm just picking a couple of countries off the list. Then what do? You can't defend them both.
That's not collective self-defense. That's different. You see
right.
what I mean? That's aggression. We're talking about collective self-defense. In other words, if there's aggression against NATO, the countries would decide how they're going to act. And because you don't want to get dragged into somebody else's ridiculous fight, these treaties have wiggle room in them, diplomatic wiggle room, that say that the countries have to go through their own constitutional and congressional parliamentary processes regarding participation in that collective self-defense. It's not automatic. So that's where there's room there. If somebody starts a fight, and of course that would be an intra-NATO fight, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we're talking about collective self-defense where, you know, we're talking about aggression. In the past, it had been the Soviet Union. Today, unfortunately, it's Russia. I guess there's probably some other possibilities, but I can't really think of them off the top of my head. So it's protect against aggression, not to initiate aggression. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I hear you. Quickly, in terms of the president, does it make a damn what he says during an interview, or is it more about his actions in terms of extracting more money and not extorting, extracting more money from the NATO countries and getting them to pay their fair share?
No, the policies are good. You know, the policies are good. The president is right about this. He's right about asking them to pay their fair share. He's right about burden sharing. You know, we're not just worried about Europe. We've got big issues in Asia, too. Mm-hmm. North Korea, China. I mean, there's other things that we have a military in the Pacific. We have a military in the Atlantic. And so we need people to be able to, you know, do their fair share on these defense issues. So the president is absolutely right about this. He's not the first one to bring this up. President Obama brought it up. President Bush brought it up. It's been an issue for a long time. But the president, I think, has been a little bit more vocal about it, a little more stronger in terms of his rhetoric.
All right, another day we're going to talk about these islands in the China Sea because those really bother me. Should they?
Yeah.
I thought they should. That seems to be on the back burner, and it seems like we got to start moving that toward the front. Thank you, Peter.
You got it.
Have a good day. Peter Brooks, Senior Fellow of National Security Affairs at the Heritage Foundation.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.